Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We have Catherine on the line. We're talking about Sjogren's disease.
Yeah. Well, Sjogren's syndrome is an interesting and I almost want to say more common condition than we used to see. It is classically in women over 40. And it occurs in conjunction with a lot of other autoimmune processes. And one of the concepts that I think we need as a society to gather is that diseases tend to cluster. If you have one autoimmune process, you probably have two or three or four. When someone develops a dry mouth or swollen salivary glands or dry eyes, that sort of thing, dry skin, bowel problems, constipation, we have to think of autoimmune processes. And we often see Sjogren's show up with lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or any number of thyroiditis.
Inflammatory bowel disease.
Inflammatory bowel diseases all go together. Mm. And we are seeing it in younger and younger people. Classically, it's been women over 40 we thought about it. We're starting to see the same sort of complexes in younger people. And the question in my mind is why? You know, why are our immune systems going skitty-wampus at younger and younger ages and larger parts of the population?
It's because all of the crap they put in the food that we eat.
Yep. I think that probably is a big part of it. You know, we provide inadequate nourishment to the bacteria in our gut. Mm. And so that changes. They get anemic. They get changed. Different bugs start to grow. We develop leaky gut syndrome, in which we now have the tight junctions in our bowel start to loosen up, and we start getting proteins and even bacteria that invade in areas that they never used to.
Mm. And we're also getting better at diagnosing them. So yes, we're picking up more. We eat bad food. We eat worse than we used to. Part of it is not everybody's fault. Part of it is just, you know, what's grown and what's used to protect the food to keep it
yep
healthy to get to us.
Well, and part of it, too, though, is our sedentary lifestyle.
Yes, sure.
Exercise boosts the immune response,
yes,
and sedentary people develop more autoimmune diseases. And we're too damn clean. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been studies for years that show that farm kids who live out amidst the animals and the dirt and the grunge, and the kids get dirty a lot more often, and they're exposed to all kinds of allergens from infancy on, almost never get asthma and almost never get the autoimmune diseases. And kids raised in hyper-clean households with mothers who are just persnickety about keeping everything spotless have a much higher incidence of autoimmune disease and allergies. So part of it is dietary, but I think part of it is also our sedentary, hyper-hygienic household.
Yeah, they've actually, I remember watching a documentary on twins where one twin was very healthy and the other one was sick all the time. And the difference was the healthier twin was outdoors and with the farm animals, and the younger twin was inside, or not the younger, but the other twin was inside and not exposed, partly because they were sick and partly because they didn't want to.
Well, and partly because they were city kids.
Yeah. And that made a big difference in their health. Yeah.
You know, used to be 2-3% of the population lived in the cities.
Yeah.
And now it's 2-3% of the population lives on the farms.
It's harder to live on the farms.
It is. Well, you can't afford the land anymore. But yeah, besides, it's all been bought up by, you know, big agri.
I know.
And now the Chinese buying up enormous amounts of farmland. But oddly, they seem to have an interest around our military bases.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway, yeah, part of it is our lifestyle, part of it is our lack of activity, and part of it is our food choices.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what do we do about it once you've got it? Mm. So how are you being treated for your dry mouth, dry eyes, etc.?
I do hot soaks for 10 minutes, compresses, wet, every night. And, you know, I scrub my eyes and I take 3,000 grams of Barlings fish oil.
Good.
Okay.
And I have been doing everything. I've had the dry eyes for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I do? You said for the eyes, for the dry eyes, for the whole symptoms that I have, I've been trying to stay exercise and eat good food and all that. But then I periodically get this real tiredness going on. Mm-hmm. And then it's associated this time. I got the abscess in my salivary gland or infection because I had running a low grade fever. And I couldn't get in to see anybody. So the fever is broken, but I also got this, my right cheek is swollen, and that happened before, too, after an infected tooth. And I wanted to know, how can you tell whether it's from a tooth or whether it's from your salivary gland?
Well, for one thing, of course, your dentist needs to do a good exam, and they'll do the x-rays. You can do some blood tests to find out if you've got systemic infections or localized infections.
And then the exam, physical exam, will basically tell them where is
but
it.
But they don't look. They don't even know.
I was
in the hospital, and they noted my skin was elevated. My side of my neck, face was swollen. And like I said, it's swollen now again.
Uh-huh.
But one was from the tooth. And now this is the gland.
Okay.
And it feels like the it's swelling around like my nose and everything a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I just wondered, does the infection get in the...
Well, certainly it can. Yes.
Okay. But it doesn't look like a normal where it gets red and warm. It just swells.
Well, swelling says fluid, retention says inflammation of some sort, and then the question is why and how. And that's where the virtue of a good physical exam goes, along with some blood tests, and then your doctor can make rational decisions. But, until they actually start doing some exams and some testing, we're not going to know. We're really at a terrible disadvantage here on the radio. We can't see you. We can't do the tests.
Right. Well, I got an appointment, but not till Tuesday. I was just interested if I was crazy or if it could be blowing around my nose. My nose has been very, very itchy. And I thought that was due to, I had a colonoscopy and they put oxygen in my nose.
Uh-huh.
And this device that was like very, seemed like my skin didn't like it, you know, reaction to it, allergic reaction.
Uh-huh.
And, but now today it feels like it's swelling too, so.
Okay.
It's the top part.
Yeah. The only general thing I would dare suggest on the radio would be some nice, warm to hot compresses.
I've been doing that. Yeah, but not on my skin where it's swollen. But I've been doing where my glands are.
Good.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, 2-3 times a day, give it, because that'll just increase the blood supply and help your body fight any infection that's there.
That's right. And if if the fever gets worse or you're having difficulty in breathing or you're getting short of breath, then just go into the urgent care or go see somebody, okay?
All right. Thank you for that call, Catherine. We're going to go right over to Graham and check in with Kay before we take our next break. Hi there, Kay. Good morning.
Good morning, doctors. I was wondering if the doctors could tell me anything they know about low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune conditions.
Yeah, it's actually reasonably popular. I will admit we don't offer it through our clinics. I had a patient once who requested it, and somebody had started her on a low dose, and I continued it for maybe a couple of months, but then she voluntarily stopped herself, and I was grateful because I don't have the experience with it. But I think in good hands, in people who are knowledgeable about LDN, it might be beneficial for autoimmune disease. Again, I haven't read the literature on it, and I have not treated anybody with it myself personally. And I don't know that any of our doctors in the clinics are either.
No.
Okay. I've seen a lot of information online about it, but it seems kind of old, like maybe from 3 years ago. So I was curious about that, if it's something that's kind of come and gone more.
I don't think it's come and gone. I do think there are pockets of physicians, especially naturopathic physicians, that do offer it. But again, it's not something that we do. I mean, I've even heard of LDN for weight management, LDN for many pain also. So there are people that use it for different things. Autoimmune would be one of the common things. But it's because there was never any sound literature on it. There was never any studies, and it wasn't something that, you know, we got into at all through our clinics. But yes, I do know some people are fond of that treatment and have had good results in their hands. But personally, I don't know of any provider, and I haven't had any patient that has come back and told me that they had a good experience with it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank
Sorry,
you for that information.
Can't be much help to you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for that, Kay. We're going to take a quick break here. We will be back with more of your phone calls. DJ, you're next. We'll talk with you, and we have room in our phone queue for more questions. Here is that number to call. It's 206-421-5757, 206-421-5757. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Girl, and Billy Joel, last time I saw him singing that, he had his daughter singing it with him, and he was playing piano. That was on a video or something, and I thought, oh, look at that. Something is in my mouth. Weird. Okay. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. Dr. Samira Umat, we're going to take a call in just a moment because we've got some more calls coming through. But, of course, the show being brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we're here. So many times we'll hear, hey, I'm a patient. We had a few of those already this morning.
Yes, we did. And we'd like to have a whole lot more.
Yes, we will. We have others that are saying, well, I'm thinking about it. No, we want you to come in. Find out what is going on in your body. Before, on the last show, you were mentioning, Dr. Mixon, that we want you to come in while you're healthy, as young as you can. If you're listening, get in and let's start you and get you feeling better.
We need an attitude adjustment, basically, is that the idea is not to wait until you are sick.
Yeah.
And then expect us to somehow magically make it all go away and get you healthy and strong and fit.
Yeah.
We need to start as early in life as possible.
That's right. You know?
I sometimes get folks who want to do everything I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, I'm pleased that they think that I'm a model who should be emulated. On the other hand, I started my therapy when I was 49. Mm. And if you don't start your therapy till you're 79, you can't expect to get the same results that I've gotten over the last 27 years. It just doesn't work that way.
It's not just that you use the therapy, Jerry. You actually follow the principles of the whole program, which nobody can make you do.
No.
You have to do it.
No, we can do the laboratory tests. We can write prescriptions. We can recommend supplements. We can recommend diet. We can't spoon feed you.
Yeah.
Or better yet, sew your lips closed so you eat less, which is the biggest problem in America, is we just plain overeat. Mm-hmm. People want to blame it on what they eat. It's even more important of how much we eat and how frequently we eat. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I can measure the muscle in your legs and tell you that when you come in and swear to your doctor that you're walking 5-6 miles a day, and I see that your muscles are not getting any bigger, but the fat is still there, I can know you're lying to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You actually need to do what we tell you to do. Faking it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And gluttony is not a secret sin. It's obvious. Okay. There are things we need to do. And one of those things is, as a country, we need to eat less. We need to make better choices in what we eat. That is true. But you can get fat even on healthy food.
Sure.
And we need to move more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to – exercise does not need to be 30 minutes in the gym 3 times a week, although that's more than most Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to be activity all day.
Yeah.
Every day of your life you need to pick some time and be physically active for an hour or more every day. And even if you do it in 15-minute increments, 4 15-minute increments equals an hour.
Right.
So
there you go.
Do something.
Yeah.
Do something. And we want to help you by showing you and sharing with you what you can do. But by looking at your blood tests and finding out what you're at risk for, because that's what you can do here at Longevity. Look at that and know, even if they're not feeling the symptoms, what could be down the road, right, doctor?
Absolutely. And the goal here is to identify risks for bad things happening later. And then you don't wait for the bad things to happen and then come see us. What we need to do is to look at your risk factors and say, we can see bad stuff is coming in the next 5 years. Let's start now and prevent them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always more effective to prevent trouble than it is to try to fix it after it's here.
For sure.
Absolutely. That first step is coming in for that free health analysis appointment. Make your appointment by looking at the calendar. You know what you can do in your busy schedule. We have appointments that will work with you. Times and days, you pick those, and then we'll see you in for a blood test and an in-body test. The doctor will then hopefully have you do a blood test. Now, that does cost, but that can give the doctor so much information that we can help get you on the road, hopefully, to a healthier you. Yeah.
And if you get that blood test, then you're going to get to come in, sit down with a doctor for a full hour.
Yes.
And go over your lab results and go over your history, put it all together, and decide what we can do for you, what it's going to take to get you where you really want to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you've got to take that first step and make that call and get in. Here's the number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com, and you can make your appointment there. Click on the button that's right there on the front page that says free health analysis appointment. And you can look at the schedule and find a day and a clinic that works best for you. We have one in Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood as well. Longevity. We want to see you get what, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and
happier. So make a call today. Make that appointment, 866-86-YOUNG or at lmclinic.com. Gonna head south. We have DJ in Tukwila with a question for the doctors. Good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking a call. I have a couple of little things I'd like to bring up. I want to acknowledge that I've been a 20-year attendee of these Saturday morning sessions of Mixon University, and I have supplemented my medical education, which has been profound, and I'm not trained as a medical doc, just had a little pre-med when I was in college, but this has been just valuable time. But I'm 84 years old, and I have a couple of problems. I've been a stone former for the last 25 years. I can make kidney stones. I can make gallbladder stones. Matter of fact, the only thing I've taken out is my gallbladder. But my problem right now is I've got my third colitis flare in the last 15 years. And these things come on unexpected, but with an intensity that kind of scares me. I tell my gastroenterologist, I says, well, I've got the 20/20 colitis. And he says, what's that? I says, well, it's 20 feet or 20 seconds to the porcelain. And the urgency seems to get worse. In the last week or so, I've been on prednisone, and it's taping it down. But my question has to do with the cause of colitis. And I did a little research in, not in Dr. Google, but in PubMed. You've trained me well, Dr. Mixon. I go into the deep stuff, and although I don't understand all of it, there's an article I found about 10 years ago indicating that there's some correlation between CAT scans and for in my case, I have CAT scans for kidney stones, and what it does to the gut mucosa. And the conclusion in one of these articles is that, this is a dangerous medication and that some people are more sensitive to others. But about a month ago, I had, two months ago, I had a CAT scan for a kidney stone that's now 2 centimeters by 15 centimeters. It's big enough that they're not going to operate on it, so I'm taking sodium bicarbonate and a few other things to kind of help dissolve it. But the kidney stone is not my problem. I'm tolerating that. The colitis makes a huge change in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if you have had any information about there is be a correlation between CAT scans and PET scans and kidney stones, or at least causing colitis.
I have not seen anything with kidney stones. Yes, the fact is that that radiation can trigger colitis. That's been established a long time ago.
Good. Then I'm hoping that you got some. I could only find one PubMed article, but I think with your research background, you'll come up with some. Yeah. I'm having a little discussion with several of my doctors because nobody knows this correlation, and obviously it's like the COVID vaccine. You know, the benefits outweigh the disadvantages. So, but I think that I'm asking my doctors, could you put me on a flag that no more radiation? I'll do an ultrasound or an MRI, but I'm not going to put up with any more radiation because every time I have, and it's 4 or 5 years in between when I'm remission, that the CAT scan will produce a month later a severe ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
So I would be all ears if you have any further comments on it, but that's my bigger problem right now.
Well, part of the colon is, colitis is an inflammatory process in the colon by definition. And there are many forms of it. There's autoimmune diseases, there are bacterial colitis, there are some forms of colitis we don't really know what is the trigger. But one thing I found is kind of interesting is trying to feed the appropriate bowel gut or bowel bacteria in the gut. And the supplement that I have found thus far that has the best mix of bacteria for colons is called SEED, S-E-E-D. Okay? It's a mixture of 28 different bowel bugs that are supposed to be in a healthy bowel and are often not present in proper numbers in sick guts, and especially in people with colitis.
Is it a medicine that you can get over the counter?
Yes, it's a probiotic, and it's a mixture of 28 different bacteria. But they've done interesting things. See, most of the time when you're trying to take probiotics, you're trying to get them down into the gut, they have to go through the stomach first. And the stomach is very acidic. And the acid kills the vast majority of bacteria. It's supposed to, because, you know, your gut's designed for a rather basic life in which we don't eat all sterile foods, right? So what they do with seed is they start with a inner capsule. They put 28 different bacteria in there that are healthy bugs for your gut. They fill that inner capsule with nitrogen so that you don't get any air. There's oxygen because the bacteria in the colon are anaerobic bacteria. They don't tolerate oxygen well. Oxygen kills them. And there's not much oxygen in the colon, in the small or the large bowel. And then they put that capsule inside another acid-proof capsule so that it gets it through the stomach. So the outer capsule gets it through the stomach and all that acid that would kill the bacteria. And then that second one gets it down through most of the small bowel and gets it far enough down that you're away from oxygen. And then it dissolves and releases the bacteria down towards the colon where they're really needed and lets them grow.
And, wow, that's great news to hear. You know, I had to travel to Idaho because they didn't allow a fecal transplant in the state of Washington 10 years ago. And yeah. I had my son loaned me some fecal material, and it really helped a bad case of C. diff. That's become the gold standard now. But I told my son, I was so grateful for him providing it, but I'm not going to take any more crap off him. And he got a kick out of that. It's one of the things that I've used to try and get a handle on this. But having knowledgeable doctors telling me what you just did, nobody seems to know the answers. And I've never heard of seed before, and I've done pretty good studies on this. So thank you.
Okay. Well, it's about $50 a month. But I think you've got a pretty good chance of getting good results. The research on this one is the best of any bacterial supplement I've ever found. I pulled their papers, and I got their list of bacteria, and I pulled research papers on every single one of those. And these seem to be the bugs that have the best chance of helping your gut.
Okay. Well, you're a big help. Thank you. I had a sphygmomegaly 3 weeks ago, and I watched that in live. I thought better of it afterwards because that's a little painful, but I got a chance to take a look at how inflamed it was. Thank you again. I appreciate
your talent,
and your expertise.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye, sir.
Very good. Thank you so much for the call, DJ. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and room for you to call at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Oh, we're back. And Dr. Mixon, you subscribe to that, right? The best is yet to come, right?
For some of us.
Yeah.
For others, no, it's going to continue sliding down.
Okay.
That's why they need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic, is to keep them from sliding down.
Okay.
And
yes.
Get them ready so they can enjoy the best that is yet to come.
There you go. All right.
That is true. You know, this might be the time to maybe recount that video that we got from one of our colleagues about the Canadian health system. Do you remember that? I thought that was that should have been made for us.
it was a couple in
a split screen, and in one half of the screen, they're living their best life, you know, enjoying their retirement and spending time with family, grandchildren, traveling. And she's wearing her pearls, and they're out dancing, and they have a glow on their face. And on this other screen, he's getting sicker, and they're in the hospital. They're sick at home. Then they go back to the hospital, and and he's on a hospital bed, and they're looking frail and tired, and there's no pearls on her ears anymore, and her necklace is gone, and it's and, you know, it's the last 10 years of their life, it's the last decade of their life, and the question is, which one would you rather be?
That's right.
Yeah, it's the same couple.
Yeah, wow. I mean, time and gravity eventually win, but the average American does not have to go downhill as they're currently doing. There's no reason why, just because you're in your 70s, you shouldn't be able to run and jump and have a great life. You know, you should be strong. You should be fit. You should be lean. You should be able to go out. And your 70s should be the new 30s, or at least 40s. It's so pathetic to know that the average male lifespan is now 76, down from 78.
Wow.
You know, and that females are now 78, down from, you know, 82. We are dying sicker and younger. And much of it is lifestyle. But we can change that. The earlier we start, the better job we can do. I wish I could get people into this clinic when they're 30s and 40s instead of waiting until they're already sick and disabled and having major problems and then trying to fix it. Yes, we can do better than you would do otherwise, but we can't do as well as we could if you had started younger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, even if you're now in your 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s and you want to make your future as good as it can be, you ought to come to Longevity Medical Clinic. Mm. But you really ought to be nagging your kids and your nieces and nephews in their 30s and 40s, getting them to come in and get evaluated.
Yeah. One of my patients actually said this when I asked her, and she gave us a testimonial too. She said that I asked her why she became a longevity patient, and she said, both her husband and herself, they both came together. She said they did not want to age like their parents had aged. Mm. And that's why they came to longevity.
And that's a good goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I go out on the trail in the mornings and I see people my age shuffling slowly down the trail and barely able to sustain even a modest gait, with great big round bellies and little weak arms and frowns of depression on their face.
Mm.
You know, and I'm always with two thoughts. One is, well, good for you. You're trying.
Yeah.
You're doing something.
Right.
But I could help you be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could start rebuilding that muscle mass and giving you back the strength. And you shouldn't have to be shuffling or walking slowly down the trail. You should be able to step high and march down the trail to, you know, to Sousa music and then grab your spouse and go out dancing.
Mm.
The fatigue that I see on the face of so many Americans and those great big round bellies just infuriate me because they're not necessary. Yes, you've reached a stage in life that your body now preferentially makes fat instead of muscle. But we can fix that.
Mm.
You don't have to have a body that wants to make fat instead of muscle. We can fix it so you want to make muscle instead of fat.
Mm.
So you get leaner and you get stronger and you get healthier and you get robust and we boost your immune response so you're better able to fight cancers and avoid getting sick.
Yeah.
So I'm just so frustrated when I see the average American that doesn't have to age the way that they are.
Mm.
I don't know. Sometimes I look at our Surgeon General for the United States and want to scream at the guy and say, would you quit fooling around and do your job, damn it? You're the Surgeon General of the United States. Your job is supposed to help this country be healthy.
Yeah.
But how often have you heard the Surgeon General? Mm. When was the last time you saw the Surgeon General on TV giving a speech to the American people, telling them what they need to do? Never.
No.
Never. The only time I remember the Surgeon General being on television in the last, 5 years was in 2020.
COVID time.
Early in the COVID. Mm, yeah. And he got on and he told us absolutely transparent lies. Mm. What he said was, well, you know, you shouldn't be wearing a mask because the masks don't do any good. And we have to save them for the people who really need them, like the emergency room staff at the hospital. Mm. And I sat there and said, you idiot. Either they don't do any good or we need to save them for the emergency room staff.
We both.
But yeah.
If they don't do any good, why do
why
you want
the emergency? Why would we save them?
Yes. I mean, come on, people. Make up your mind. It's one or it's the other.
Or the
now,
other.
True, you know, N95 masks. Yeah. Help to a modest degree if you change them three times a day and you fit them properly.
Nobody does that or did that.
No, and those fabric masks and the chain mail masks and fashion masks I saw, you know, don't help at all.
But they're cute.
They're cute and they're fashion statements.
Mm-hmm.
And I did wear a mask that said, "Let's go, Brandon," whenever I traveled through the airports. "Let's go, Brandon," got me through security really fast because all the cops loved it.
I bet they did, yes.
Yeah. But that's the only time I've seen the Surgeon General of the United States on TV, and he was there to lie to us. Mm-hmm. You know, why do we have a Surgeon General if he's not going to do anything? Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we've got two more calls. Dr. Mixon, let's go to Tacoma and talk with Mary. Hi there, Mary.
Hello, Mary. Mary.
Oh, okay. Gary, actually.
Oh, Gary.
Let's go to Gary. Okay. Yep, Mary just dropped. We'll go to Gary.
Oh, I thought we had mistaken.
Yeah,
Mary.
No, we had two. Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Gary.
Happy noon, noon hour. Yes.
Noon hour. Yeah.
Almost.
It is 15 minutes.
I decided it's too hot to finish roofing today, so I got off the roof. Anyway.
Good for you.
From a layman's point of view, I'm not a doctor, haven't played a doctor, well, since I was 8 years old, but I have an idea what might be useful in preventing stomach cancer. You know, that little sphincter muscle up there. Well, I'm 80 years old. In the 80s, before I was supplementing and everything, I had a very bad stomach problem, and that's when the over-the-counter latest one now was still a prescription. I can't remember the name. Doctor gave me a prescription. I didn't have any insurance. It was $80 for it. That was expensive back then. So a 70-year-old friend of mine at the time said he used aloe vera juice. And I know I've used it on sunburns, and it works if you put it on right away. In the morning, you don't even have a blister or anything. I know because I burnt myself on fire one day. But so I thought, well, okay. So I went into Fred Meyer's. They had a gallon out of it at that point. The juice, not the gel. And that was, I think, $8 for the gallon. So I started drinking a portion of, I don't know, twice a day, a portion of a glass or something. Mm-hmm. And a few months later, I was in the doctor for something else. He says, "How's that stomach?" I says, "Oh, it's great." He said, "The medicine worked." I said, "No, I can't afford that." I went and got aloe vera. Well, he said, "What is that?" So I explained to him it was a succulent plant. So I've been taking, ever since then, I've been taking a half a shot glass to a shot glass every morning, first thing I get, like time I get up, and every night, the last thing before I go to bed. So my theory is that if it's good for the sunburn, the acid, if that sphincter muscle isn't in good shape, you know, acid reflux, it may be healing that area to keep from that. That's a choke point there for cancer, I think you've said. So I haven't had any problems since, and now it doesn't stop. I don't use it to stop acid reflux. But if I should eat something, you know, and I get it, this is one of my regimens.
Okay.
So, you know, for what it's worth, it's cheap enough now. I've tried taking the gel when they were out of the liquid, but it kind of broke me out, so I get a little sensitive to it. But, yeah, that's just, you know, for what it's worth, it's free and it's worth every penny. Now, you mentioned fasting. There's something I heard new now, the dry fasting. Are you familiar with that? It's kind of new for a 12-hour dry fast?
No.
Okay, well, we have genetics to take care of if we're out of food for fasting. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes, eating
up the fat and everything. So the doc was looking in to see if we had something because we'd be without water for a period of time. And there's even a bird that flies across the continent without any water or food. So they started looking into it, and they claim there's a gene, and that will even, what that does is kind of tighten the body's resources, and it'll squeeze the water out of the fat, and it'll do it faster than regular wet fasting. So for what it's worth, you can look into that maybe, Doctor.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, I have heard of people using aloe vera juices for a variety of GI tract issues for many years. I haven't seen any objective papers on it. You know, it seems to be one of those things that you only get research papers if somebody will fund them. somebody willing to put up $500,000 or $1 million to do the research, and then you get the research papers so you have objective proof. Aloe vera, of course, is cheap. And so nobody's willing to put up the money, because if I was CEO of a company and I was making aloe vera juice and I said, well, you know, we're only getting $10 a gallon for this stuff and it costs us six. So shall we put up $1 million to do some research that we'll never make a profit on? And I said, well, no, I don't want the board of directors to kick me out of my job. So you don't put up the money.
It's not really tasty, some people feel. I think it's better than a shot of whiskey. But I buy the unflavored and flavor it with some of that sugarless, you know, that you put in your bottle of water that you can flavor up. So you have a cross-section of flavors. And that makes it quite a bit more palatable. Of course, you have to keep it in the fridge because, you know, it keeps it longer.
Yeah. All right. Just out of curiosity, you said you bought your first gallon for, what was it, $8?
That was $8 way back then, and now it's $8 for about a quart.
Okay, so they've quadrupled the price. All right.
Over that time,
yeah. Yeah, all right. Just out of curiosity. Okay.
Yeah. And the dry fasting, I'm curious about that, because I've never recommended dry fasting. Because we always allow water or liquid and black coffee.
We always tell people to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
You don't want to do this if it's hot and you're sweating. This is if you're kind of a sedentary lifestyle and you're going through a period of week and you're going through your regular fasting, you just combine it for only 12 hours, they say, and then you come out of it, you know, a glass of water every 4 hours or something. So you don't want to go out and exercise. This isn't something you do with exercising.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, when I think of dry fasting, I had not thought of this in years, but when I went to medical school, it was at University of Utah, which, of course, is a big LDS, Mormon community. And they fast for 24 hours. I think it was the first Sunday of every month. They'd have nothing to eat or drink for 24 hours. And then they would donate the money that they would have spent on food to the poor.
Okay.
And this was one of their charitable. So everybody was... You could always tell Fast Sunday because everybody on the street looked hungry and tired.
Oh, wow.
No one was eating for 24 hours. But
restaurants were empty.
So when you said dry fasting, that's what immediately flashed into my somewhat warped brain.
I did not know that.
Salt Lake City back when I went to medical school in the early 70s.
The other thought could also be no alcohol.
Well, they don't do alcohol at any time.
I do make my homemade wine. I do have that a bit every once in a while.
My grandfather used to do little homemade wine. Yeah, he called it sand. Out in the barn, getting the sand ready. Yeah, so he did wine. I don't know why he called it sand.
Yeah.
And he was also a little bit of a moonshiner. But out of the South Tobacco Barn, he had a little still set up.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Did he have jugs with XXX written on them?
No, XXX. Everything was dispensed in mason jars.
Okay. Did you ever try them?
Wow.
My grandma used to, whenever I would catch a cold, would give me a tablespoon of moonshine and honey. That was wow. that was her cure for
it's like
any,
the recipe on the Waltons.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
It was recipe.
Tablespoon of moonshine.
Any virus.
That wow. I'll tell you, the moonshine was potent. It had, I don't know what the alcohol content was, but it was way up there. It burned all the way down.
Man.
But you have alcohol for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Oh, man. Uncle Gino still has, he makes wine in his basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still does that. Brings it out at family functions.
All right, well, yeah. Makes the family function.
There you go. That's how, yes, it does.
Some dancing on the tables.
All right.
Well, thank you for the call, sir. I greatly appreciate
it. Thank you. Good show.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Our last call for the day. So we have just a couple minutes left of our show. We've gotten so many different topics today and even touched on moonshine. Dr. Mixon, how did you do that?
Just thinking of McKin down South Carolina.
Frog legs and moonshine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We will be live back in the studio again next week and in the weeks to come, prepping for something pretty exciting here.
Yep, we're going to be doing live stream video audio, so you'll be able to see us and hear us, which is why I was asking earlier in the show, what do you think we ought to wear?
Yeah.
So maybe next week we'll have everybody kind of chime in.
Chime in, yeah.
Every single person that calls, first thing we're going to ask you
professional?
Is, what should we wear?
Casuals? Scrubs?
Scrubs, yeah, shall we?
Saturday relaxing radio attire? Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
You go.
And I don't know, maybe we'll put up some outfits and we all get to pick which ones we want to do for the Friday week. I will
there
see
we go.
Goes.
Jeans.
Here we go. Yes.
That's right. Well.
Yeah, jeans
I wear
and
jeans most
and
of the time.
Yeah.
Actually.
That's your uniform.
That's our favorite. Yes.
That's right. Jeans and a long sleeve shirt. That's yeah. what I wear 99% of
well,
the time.
Well, we could always do the, okay, this week we're all wearing black. And then next week, blue. And then, yeah, we'll pick a different
Gold
color
LeMay.
Every week. Golden LeMay week. That'll be an interesting one. Okay, lots of thoughts, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, too, as Leading Edge Medicine continues, and we will be in front of you, waving to you and talking to you.
Another
you'll be able to see us.
3 or 4 weeks from now.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Studio is getting all put together, and mm-hmm. we just have to learn to use all the new fancy equipment.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of changes
so
in your career, Jerry, you know, starting from just inpatient, then seminars, then radio, now audio video.
So there you go.
Progression.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the biopic, you know, with the movie.
Oh.
That will right. that's soon. He's got the book. Now we just need the movie.
Yeah.
All
the trouble
right.
is that some of it would not be G rated. So
yeah, we would have.
I have
to
some
have
episodes in my life.
Dr. Mixon After Dark. We'll have a wonderful rest of your day. This is going to be a hot week. Like Dr. Umet said earlier, stay hydrated.